And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you, whatever part of the great state you may be sitting in, enjoying the outdoor. If you've got a question about your landscape garden, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And last week I had a rare treat. I actually got to enjoy this broadcast from the listener in. We had a little camp radio and a solar power, and we caught the 7 o'clock hour off of Chasm. We were outside of Parks, Arizona, between Williams and Flagstaff. And about halfway through, just to hear what it sounded like on other stations, we switched over to Calf Country out of Flagstaff. And, you know, listening to the program and hearing you guys, and I was in a particularly generous mood, Mr. Harper. So I actually have a special gift for you in my truck before you leave. Don't let me forget to walk out with you. I've got a brand new pair of gloves and a tobacco smoke pipe for you.
Perfect. Well, right now is about the only time I will wear gloves because it's too hot to pick anything up without them. I grabbed the handle of a hand truck, a dolly, the other day in the nursery and went, oh, whoo.
Be looking for an excuse to take your gloves off and light a pipe right now under the shade.
Well, and who would want to smoke anything, right? It's so hot. I can't even imagine lighting something up.
Let's bring Karen calling in from Tucson. Her community garden has some tomatoes that are, well, as you could guess, just a little bit stressed. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. We have some tomatoes planted at a community garden, and there are a lot of yellow and brown leaves, particularly down low. We have a 30% rated shade cloth,
mm-hmm.
And the watering schedule, which I cannot change, is 25 minutes at 6 in the morning and also at 3 in the afternoon. And we're wondering if this is normal.
Every day?
Pardon me?
Every day?
Every day.
That's a lot of water. I think the lower leaves...
Okay, but it's in a, you know, there are strips. There's two strips. The garden mm-hmm. itself is 25 feet by 3 feet across, and then you just have two of those long black...
Yeah, no,
strips
right.
that have little holes in it.
Right, sure. Does the soil look moist when you go grab it, feel it, touch it? My guess is it probably is. If you're watering every day, you know, both ends of the day with shade cloth over it, I'm going to suggest that your situation, especially since they're all lower leaves on the tomato plant
mm-hmm.
turning
One
yellow.
One of them has it up higher. One of them is dying back up higher.
Okay. The lower leaves turning yellow generally is lack of nutrients. And I'm not seeing it, you know, not being there, you know, twice a day, every day under shade cloth with, I'm almost guessing you're overwatering. Certainly the yellowing on the lower foliage is due to probably nutrient deficiency. You need to get some organic fertilizer on them. Especially when you're watering that much, that doesn't surprise me that you're leaching out nutrients. And as some of those, I don't know how high off the ground or how high above your plants are that shade cloth is, but sometimes if some of those that are on top are nearing the shade cloth, that shade cloth itself is hot and it will burn the plant. So make sure it's high enough away from those plants that it doesn't cause them to burn as well.
And the perfect conditions in the ideal situation with as high professional maintenance you could give it, what can you seriously expect from a tomato when it's 110 degrees
well,
outside?
Well, I'm pulling mine out tomorrow.
Okay.
No, I mean, Tucson, I understand, is a little cooler, and they've got them under shade cloth, and so they may sneak them through the summer even, whatever. But, you know, mine, I'm just not going to spend the water. Watering
for the little
for
yield,
the, for the little yield or if any yield, because once it gets to a certain temperature, you're not going to set any fruit anyway. So all you're going to try and do now is keep the plant alive to get some plants to maybe get some fruit again next fall. Mine are going adios tomorrow. So that's what I expect out of them. They did great. I got lots of fruit. It's time to go.
You save all the water, and then you just get another starter.
And I'm starting to prep. I'll start prepping the soil. You know, now it's not very far away. July and August, we start planting winter vegetables again, and I need the room anyway. So it's perfect timing.
Let's see how we can help Ken and Mesa with a sisu tree. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. These trees are running amok with the little suckers coming up all throughout my lawn. I'm just trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
The tree is still there, or have you removed the tree, or you still have the tree?
Well, for now, the tree is
okay.
Still there.
All right. Well, if the tree is still there, you got to be careful what you put on those sprouts, and probably there's not much you can do other than just pull them up. Catch them while they're young and pull them up. Try it. You have this in a grass lawn? That was a yes.
Yeah.
Water, take a hose out there about once every 2 or 3 weeks and give that tree a it may take you 2 days. It may take you 48 hours to run it slow and move it around and let that water soak way down. Try and get those roots to go deeper. The deeper the roots are, the less of those root suckers or root shoots you're going to have. And I can tell you from experience, cutting the tree down won't stop those root suckers from coming up. I know a couple guys that have cut sisus down. They're still getting the shoots. So you might as well enjoy the tree and just do battle with the shoots and try and get the roots to go deeper.
At the Arizona Community Tree Council's conference in September last year, I overheard three guys from different tree service companies throughout the state all said the same thing. I'll never plant another sisu tree. And when we get calls for it, I don't even try and bid it.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We've got two big ones in the Scottsdale nursery, and you know how much we water in a nursery, right? And we get hardly any of that.
Watering deep enough?
So, you know, I don't know. I certainly wouldn't plant one close to a patio or a pool or a fence or a house. And I don't know that I'd plant one if I had a grass lawn. But in the right place, you know, they seem to be okay.
Google sisu tree, and the first thing that comes up is, do not plant a sisu tree whatever you do.
Yeah. Well, how about a Silco?
Oh, no.
There's a number of those.
Hey, talking about being outside, has anybody noticed the increase in mosquitoes?
Actually, no.
You haven't? Oh, my gosh. Our back porch is a haven.
Yeah, it was earlier, but here lately, of course, I haven't been outside as much lately.
Oh, that's it.
Maybe that's it.
Well, I decided to do a little research just because it does seem to be every year more and more mosquitoes.
You know, when
last year was horrible.
When we were kids, we didn't have a mosquito. There was no mosquitoes.
I don't
remember
at all.
And now you're right; they're way worse than they used to be in general.
Well, I looked up a little bit of, I searched the news a little bit, and back in March, they were already way above on complaints about the mosquito bites and the mosquito activity. And once you have a certain amount, then did you know the cities fog? I didn't know that. As kids, when they fogged, man, they came down the street and everybody followed the trucks.
Yep, I remember.
Now, that was your hometown, Memphis.
Yes. I don't know when they fog, but most of the cities here do fog if they have a certain number of complaints.
They must do it in the middle of the night.
They must. And if you go to Arizona Department of Health Services website, you can pull up your area and your county and find out how many cases of mosquitoes they have with the West Nile virus, which is, of course, one of the big issues with mosquitoes. And so they trap them and they test them to see how many in your areas. And according to Arizona Central, in 2014, we had 11 deaths in Arizona from West Nile.
Oof.
So it is an issue. So what do we do about it besides fogging? In your own yard, of course, you keep the water dumped out, check all your pots you've got sitting around. If you have a pool cover, make sure you sweep that water off and don't let it sit. If you have a dog bowl that the dogs don't empty it every 3 days, at least, you know, recycle that water. And then, Roma, this would help if you had mosquitoes. It says chickens, ducks, and guineas are great for keeping keeping it down. They said they actually had.
So you just put a chicken on your shoulder?
No, I think you keep it in the yard.
Oh.
Yeah, and they say bats actually haven't proven to be much help. But there's a couple of things you can just buy at the regular drugstore. And one is, of course, go ahead.
Well, I've heard a lot about it on those bats because they used to say get bats. But then they were saying, well, the mosquitoes are nesting about the time the bats are coming out. So they're not really, you know, they may get a few, but The bats are most active when the mosquitoes
are. If I'm a bat
gone.
And I got the choice between a big Miller's moth or
and a little tiny skeeter.
This and a little bunch of little skeeters, guess what I'm going to go eat?
That's right. It's too much work.
Yeah.
Much work. Well, they do say dusk to dawn is the most active time. So just stay out. You know, don't go out at those times of day if you're sensitive to being bit. I don't get bit. Our youngest daughter, they feast on her. So
yeah, isn't that
she
funny?
Must be a lot sweeter.
She doesn't eat enough garlic.
Trina just gets eaten. She'll be out there, and I'm going, what are you doing? She goes, I'm getting eaten alive. I said, really?
I guess you and I are too
don't
mean.
Bother me, I guess. Yeah, I must taste bad.
Well, you can do some natural things. You can buy the Johnson's Baby Creamy Oil. It's supposed to be really great for keeping it off the mosquitoes. Also, you can make your own concoction using different oils, citronella, lemongrass, peppermint oil, or tea tree. But, John Jay, here's what I wanted your help with. There was like 11 plants you can plant around your porch that would keep you.
I was supposed to bring some in, wasn't I? My brain went backwards.
That's okay. I'll read them to you. You can tell me. I'll read it, and you tell me if it'll grow here.
Okay.
Citronella.
Yes.
Lemon balm.
Yes.
Catnip.
Yes.
Marigolds.
Not so much in the summer, but yes.
Okay. Basil.
Absolutely.
Lavender.
Yes.
Peppermint.
Yes.
Garlic.
Wow.
Garlic probably wouldn't grow much now, but, you know, it's kind of burns up in the heat.
Okay.
But, yeah, you can grow it here.
Rosemary.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Uh-huh. And geraniums, but not in the summer, right?
Yeah, right. But citronella, see, is a geranium. So, that's kind of one and the same. But, yes, definitely citronella. That's the one everybody hears about because they make the oil and the candles and everything out of. But, yeah, almost all of those. Yeah, right. Good.
Okay. So, if you're like our house, you can work on getting rid of those skeeters.
A lot of those were edibles.
True.
You were mentioning, you're talking
mint
about your
and rosemary
and your basils.
Basil,
and, and the garlics have your edible landscape and your screen as well. And then, of course, most of those, with the exception of the rosemary, will attract rabbits. So now then you got to put in your rabbit deterrent plants.
Rabbits won't eat citronella. They won't eat citronella. They don't eat geraniums. So that wouldn't be a problem. So, yeah.
It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When we get back, we have Chad wants to know what to plant next to his pool.